So we started talking about why we come to church. What is so different about New Freedom Church? What is our vision? What's our goal? What is it that we are uniquely doing? And here, if you notice, you know, around the building, you see these banners as well. And this is pretty much it. Our vision, loving people, worship, discipleship, prayer, evangelism, all of those things. People are like, well, we're supposed to do that anyway. Well, you know what? Supposed to is a broad word there, because not all of us are doing it, right? Some of us have never prayed out loud before in our entire life. Some of us have never worshiped out loud before ever because we don't feel worthy enough. And so some of us have never shared our faith before. Some of us have trouble loving people. And so that is what we're going to be talking about. Week before last, I talked about what vision is and how important it is to have a purpose in your life. Because when you have a vision, you can eliminate all the other good stuff and bad stuff that comes into our lives. Because we can fill up our time with a lot of good stuff that we're never about the one thing that we're supposed to be about. Amen? And the enemy, we think the enemy comes in and puts bad things in our life. But the devil brings a lot of good stuff in our life too. And we mistake that as blessing. But really what it is it's getting us off track of what we're supposed to be doing in our life. And so this morning we're going to be talking about God's standard for loving people. We in America, we are born and bred in the area of success. We hone it into our kids. We talk about, hey, we want you to do good in school. When has little Sally started walking? Well, she started walking at 9 months. Wow, that's incredible. Well, my kids started walking at 8 months. You know, we want to be a winner. You know, we want them to be successful. And we're talking about, you know, in our society, that's what we're about, being successful. But God's view of being successful is far different than our view of what being successful is all about concerning loving people. I don't want to just tolerate people. There's a difference between tolerating people and loving people. Amen? And so so let's get in that this morning. Now, have you ever experienced times when you're trying to do what you believe to be the thing God wants you to do, and then all of a sudden all these bad things start happening in your life? You know, you're going, okay, God, I give in. I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden, bad thing after bad thing after bad thing after bad thing started happening. And, or let's say you are at a point in your faith where you want to serve and get out into the community. So you call a certain place that has a soup kitchen, and you call them up and say, hey, can I come and serve? And they say, yes. And for you to say that is monumental. For you to even go there is a miracle, because you're stepping outside of your own comfort zone. And so you get there, you fill out the paperwork. They say, okay, be here Tuesday, and we're going to feed the homeless. Okay, great. So you show up, you're feeding the homeless, and you know they're saying thank you, and you're trying to share your faith, and all of a sudden maybe one of those homeless guys or ladies go up to the director and go, this person is talking to me about Jesus and shoving Jesus down my throat. And all of a sudden the director comes over to you and says, hey, you can't do that. You got to go. Or maybe it's you are wanting to open up your home for children that are being displaced, or foster parenting, or stuff like that. And when I was putting this together, I was thinking, I hope Sarah doesn't think that this is about her, because it's not. say you want to do that, and God laid it on your heart. You and your husband, or just you, prayed about it, and you're like, yeah, God wants me to do this. He wants me to open my home up. And so you fill out the paperwork, you go through the classes, you talk to the rep, you do all these different things, and you wait for a kid, and finally a kid comes and say he's 10 years old to 12 years old, and you paint a room for him, you get the room ready and everything, and you're excited about it, and you believe that this is what God is supposed to do, and all of a sudden this kid is unruly, he punches his fist through the wall that you just got through painting. The paint's on his knuckles. He's upset. You said, let's pray. And he's like offended by that. And he calls the rep and said, hey, they're shoving Jesus down my throat. Help me. And so the rep comes and talks to you, takes the kid out of the house, and you're going, wow, what just happened here? I'm painting a pretty miserable picture, aren't I? or maybe you go to Bible college and you go there because you have a call upon your life and you want to love people. And one night you show up at an ATM machine to get some money and this drunken person comes up, sticks their body halfway through the car window and says, hey, you want to buy some cologne? And you go, do you know who I am? I'm a Bible college student. Get out of here with that stuff. That was me. I was self-righteous in that way. I didn't realize it until that moment. And you feel like you made up your mind about wanting to go somewhere and your family's opposed. You're the closest people around you are not understanding what you're doing or why you want to do it. And everything is stacked up against you. It's not because you've missed God. It's because you're serving God. Amen? Not everybody's going to understand the love that you have for the Father and the love He has placed inside of your heart for people. If you have the love of Christ inside of you, then you also have the capability of loving people as Christ loved people. Amen? The disciples were trying to push everybody away from Jesus, but Jesus said, let them come unto me. Let them come to me. Every single day, Jesus spent all of his effort on who? People. People. And he didn't get downcast about it either. He had people completely rejecting him. Even in his own hometown, he couldn't do any miracles. Jesus would literally show up into a place, heal the whole sick people in that town, and no one would be sick. But Jesus went to his hometown where everybody knew him as the carpenter's son, the apprentice, the one that couldn't get it right. And they said, you're the Son of God, please. And he couldn't heal anybody. And so Jesus said, we just got to dust the dirt off your britches and go on to the next town. That's the way we say it. But here we see Jesus is setting a new standard for us in loving people. Loving people is hard sometimes. So how do you know if you are truly succeeding or failing at this whole loving people thing? Let's look at this. Let's look at Paul and his missionary journey. Paul looks at success this morning way different than we do. I hope it changes the way you view success, all right? So Paul's missionary journey we see in Acts 16. Paul wants us to, he wanted to go to Asia, okay? But he was stopped by the Spirit of the Lord, and he had a vision of a man in Macedonia saying, come and preach to us. So Paul took that as the Lord leading him, and so he went, all right? So let's stop right here. Paul, he was going to Asia, all right? He had his mind set up. This is where he was going. He was going to Asia to spread the gospel. And so what happened was he was stopped by the Spirit of God, and he had a vision of this man from Macedonia saying, come and preach to us. And so Paul took it as a sign. Hey, all right, let's go. That's where I'm going to go. Let's go. Let's do this. And so Paul shares the gospel. He goes there, and a few ladies get saved. While he's walking down the road, he and Silas are trying to get away from this one lady who is trying to read his fortune, and she's bugging them, saying, hey, I know who you're representing. You're representing the Son of God. And she kept pestering and pestering and pestering. Finally, Paul turns around and says, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And he cast the devil out of her. Now, what's so bad about it's good, but what's so bad about that is that she was a slave woman that was owned by another guy that made his living off of her, and now she's no longer to tell someone's fortunes because the demon was cast out of her. And so this guy went to the leadership and said, these two guys ruined my way of making a living. And so they formed a mob to go get them. And so they arrested them. They had them publicly beaten. How many of you guys have been publicly beaten? Probably no one in this room. Flogged, taken their shirt off, put on a whipping post, and whipped 39 times. Then thrown into prison. Now, Paul's probably going, man, I was heading to Asia. I think I miss God. Because here I saw this vision of a Macedonian man telling me to come and share the gospel, and then all that results of it is a couple of ladies getting saved. That's what I would have thought. And then I'm beaten. I'm publicly humiliated. I do this girl a favor by casting out a demon in her, and she comes to. She's right in her mind. She's set free, but I'm beaten for it. I'm thrown in jail for it. But Paul and Silas, while they're sitting in jail, they begin to talk to a jailer, and they won that jailer to the Lord. And not only did they lead that jailer to the Lord, but his whole family came to Christ. But yet you think about how a jailer got saved and a couple of his family members and a couple of ladies, and you know, he's heading to Asia, and all this stuff happened to him, and when you add it up in the world sense, that's not a very good evangelistic campaign. Not at all. Gotta love missions, right? Gotta love missions. And so Paul went to, after he was let out of jail the very next day, Paul went to Thessalonica where he preached and a number of people got saved there. So far, so good, right? So the Jewish leaders became jealous of Paul and Silas's influence over the people, and they started a riot. They said, enough of this. Let's start spreading lies about Paul and Silas. And so they started spreading lies. And they had to escape in the dead of night and run for their own lives. Yay, missions. He went to Berea where he preached and let leaders from Thessalonica stirred up trouble. And he once again was forced to flee for his life. This was Paul's missionary journey, all right? It's hard to love people when people are stirring up trouble all the time, creating riots just to kill you, just to chase you out of town. And see, what happens is that when God gives us a vision, when he gives us a love for people, it's not, the heavens are not going to open up and doves are going to make a way to each and every soul that needs to be saved. It's going to be hard. Loving people is tough work, amen? It is hard. It is grueling. There are so many times I've offered my hand to people and they have accepted it, but as they left, they smacked it as well. I can't count the times that I have had people take advantage of me, that have stolen from me. I've had a pastor back home that I love to death. His name is Larry Rich. He is the most generous person I have ever met in my entire life. He opens up his home to anybody. And he brings them in. He feeds them. He allows them to stay in his home. He had this one guy commit suicide. All in the chances of getting them to know the love of God. Loving people is difficult. That, you know, the banner looks good, and I put it up there to be relevant looking and to be decorative, but I'm going to tell you those two words, loving people, is very hard. It's difficult. It takes up your time. It takes up your energy. It takes up your emotions. But Jesus said, go, make disciples, teaching them to obey my commands. That's hard. Now, if you're looking at the circumstances, Paul could be saying, boy, I missed it, right? If you're looking at all the bad things that happened to him, you would say, I would think Paul would say, man, I just completely missed it. We're supposed to be have favor. The tide winds are supposed to be right. We're not supposed to be shipwrecked. I'm not supposed to be snake bit. I'm not supposed to be stoned. I'm not supposed to be beaten with an inch of my life. I'm not supposed to be run out of town more times than I can think about, all because I had an experience one time on a horse and he knocked me out. Maybe it was bad wine I had that night. Maybe it was bad bread that I had. Maybe it had too much yeast in it, made me hallucinate or something. But Paul had a different view of what success looked like. Let's look at that this morning. 1 Thessalonians 2. One through 12. It says, "You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure." See, right off the bat, Paul is laying it out there. He's laying it out. Look, it's not a failure. He said, "We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our heart. You know we never use flattery, nor do we put on masks to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to any one of you while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are our witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we delight with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory." So Paul was faithful to God to preach even when faced with strong opposition. He does, so how does this speak to us in our application to us today? If God has spoken to us about sharing our faith, then just be faithful to do that. Just be faithful to speak his name. Be faithful to give your testimony. How many of you guys in this room have a testimony? Yep, every single one of us. All of us have a testimony. We view sharing our faith as preaching on a corner somewhere. That all has a place. That all has timing. God doesn't use me that way. God uses other people that way, and there's tremendous fruit from it. But God uses me in a way of sharing my faith in a practical way so people can understand it. See, God's not calling you to speak something you don't know anything about. He's calling you to speak something that only you can speak. Only you can speak about what God has done in your life. Paige, you can't speak about what has happened in Dana's life. Only Dana can do that. And vice versa. I'm not going to be as passionate about your conversion as you are about your conversion. Amen? I'm not going to be excited about your healing as much as you are excited about your healing, or your marriage being put back in place, or finances being put back in place. You are excited about that. Hey, I praise God and I applaud it, but nobody can be more excited about it than you. That's why God has called every single one of us to be his voice piece about the love of God, about the goodness of God, about the consequences of living in our sin repetitively. Amen? So he looks at success. So how So how we treat people either helps our relationship or harms our relationships, right? Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says that they could have been a burden, but instead they were gentle among them, like a mother caring for her little children. People should be comfortable talking with us, knowing that we will speak to them gently, even if we don't agree. So, I want to show you the way. See, as believers, we are to be gentle. Not doormats, but we are to be gentle. Speaking the truths of God's love gently. Not like this. Not like this. And not like this. You see, these guys make news around the world. Why? Because they hate. I'm not interested about making news. I'm interested about making Jesus known in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Amen? I'm not worried about signs. I'm concerned about lifting the name of Jesus up in order that he would be lifted up in my life and so others may know him. This speaks nothing of the love of God. It speaks nothing about the provision God made through Jesus on the cross. It speaks nothing about the atonement. It speaks nothing about the intense love that he has for our life. You can turn that off. But it's about, but what we are to be about is speaking to people gently, especially when they don't agree with us. Especially when they don't agree with us. When politics are brought up, oh man, hello. That's a game changer, right? You can't be a Christian and be a Democrat. You can't be a Christian and be a Republican. You can't be a Christian if you're voting. You just let God handle it. And so how do you deal with people like that? How do you deal with people that shout the very opposite thing that you're trying to shout at the top of your voice? That's why we need the love of Christ living inside of us strongly. That's why we need to be in tune with the Word of God, that we need to be submitted to God on a daily basis, that we need to hide His Word inside of our heart. Because listen to me, you will be offended because of your faith. You will be tempted to rail and thump people with the Bible, even though you say, I don't do that. But in the heat of the battle, when people are trying to shout that you're a hater, that you're intolerant, that you're a bigot, that you hate people, what's going to rise up within you? What's going to rise up within you is what you have planted within you. The Bible says that we reap what we sow. If you sow hate and discourse, that's what will come up in you. If you sow the Word of God in you, when that hate and when that intolerance comes at you, that label comes at you, the Word of God begins to rise up within you. God begins to replace inside of us a spirit of hate for the spirit of love and forgiveness. See, loving people is hard. That's why some churches in our country don't do it. They had rather make themselves known by their hate rather than make Jesus known because of what he's done. And church, this is what we will do. We will be known for loving people. We will be known for accepting someone just as they are. I wish that I could have gotten the dirtiest, the stinkiest, homeless people as much as I could just to fill this front row this morning, just to test us on that theory. I remember one time in the 60s, I was reading an article about what's the singer that was killed in the plane crash? Keith Green. I was reading about his story, and he told a story about going into a church, and there was tons of homeless people just flooded into this church one Sunday. And it was a very formal church. And everybody was dressed in their suits. Everybody was had their Sunday's best on. Everybody had their good face on. They had their religion right here, so everybody could see it. And for whatever reason, Keith Green was telling this story about these homeless people. I mean, they filled. They didn't come and sit on the front row. They sat on the floor. He talked about how people were kind of gasping as they were coming up the center aisles. And they just sat there. They didn't protest. They didn't raise signs. They didn't do anything. They just were there because they had just gotten saved. They didn't know anything. Some of them were probably still high from the night before. And they came down and they reeked of marijuana. They reeked of alcohol. They reeked of LSD and all these things that were going on around them. And they sat down because they had just gotten saved the night before. And some guy told them they needed to get in church, find a church. And so they flooded in the front rows of this church, this very large church. And Keith Green was, I think he was there to do some music or something that morning or to speak. And he looked at the pastor, and the pastor was kind of like, I don't know what to do here. And from the back, one of the elders, one of the oldest guys in the building came out of the pews and began to walk forward, and everybody's eyes were on this guy because he was well known in that church. He was very respected. And he came down and he put his cane to the side and he asked the guys to move over and to scoot over and make room. And with his old body, he plopped himself down right in the middle. And then one by one, the rest of the church began to join them as close as they could to the front. They wrapped their arms around them and they loved them. They went home smelling like high heaven. But the love of God was in them to love people. Church, that's what we are to be about. We are to love people. I tell everybody all the time, listen, you know, I don't have clothes to wear to church. You know, I don't have nice clothes to wear to church. Don't worry about it. Just come to church. Just come to church. I was in a church one time, and this guy had piercings all over his face. I mean, he was out there, and he had gotten saved. It was at a friend of mine's church. He was telling me about this. He gotten saved and God called him into the ministry, and he really didn't know what to do with that. And so he was pouring his heart out in the altars, and he got up and he really felt like God had given him a direction. And so he was praising God and thanking God for it. And one of the elders came up to him and said, "Son, unless you take those earrings out and those piercings out, you're going to hell." Where does the love of God dwell in that? Paul, the Apostle Paul, gave his life because he loved people, because he wanted to make them known, make Jesus known to them. 2 Timothy 2:25 says this: "Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth." So when we treat people gently and not harshly, no matter the outcome, we have succeeded no matter what the response is. Because see, here's what we view success as. Man, I went out and I spoke to five people about Jesus and I led all of them to Christ. Man, praise God, that's awesome. But then sometimes we'll go out and God just for whatever reason we couldn't speak to anybody. And we go home feeling bummed out, feeling bad, feeling depressed. But you have succeeded in your venture because you went out and did what you were told to do by the Holy Spirit, and that is to go. You have succeeded. You made yourself available. You said, "God, if I can love anybody today, if I can encourage anybody today, send them across my path. I'm here. I'm ready." Because our job isn't to get the right response. Our job is to be obedient to the call to go. Amen? See, saving people has never been my job. I wasn't brought on here as a pastor to save people. I wasn't brought on here as pastor to grow this church. The Bible says that some sow, some plant, some water, but it's God that gives the increase. Amen? It's God that gives the increase. And so my question is to you today, where do you fit into that scenario? Are you a planter? Are you a sower? Are you a reaper? Are you a plower? Where do you fit into that situation? What are you doing? Are you sitting on the fence post and telling the one that's plowing how to plow? Are you sitting on the tractor telling the one that's actually planting on how to plant? Or are you out there by the sweat of your brow, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, loving people the way Jesus did? Got too much judges in this world that we live in today. We have far too few doers in this generation today. And the reason why is because we love to fit in. We love to be loved. We want to be accepted. We want to fit in. We don't want to stick out. We want to live our lives. But Jesus said, those who love their lives will lose it. God is looking for people that are willing to abandon their status quo in their life and say, Father, if you can use any part of me, if you can use any part of me to love somebody today, even though I'm hurting, even though I don't have it all together in my life, sometimes we have to serve God through our pain. Amen? Sometimes we have to serve God through our circumstances and say, God, I don't know how you're going to work this out in my life, but that's your business. I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to go over here and I'm going to love on somebody. I'm going to serve. I'm going to give my time. I'm going to put my heart out there, and it may get trampled on. It may be received. It may be rejected and hated. But God, I'm going to do it because you told me to do it. Because your love lives inside of me. I'm going to make you known. I'm going to make you known. In my area, in my influence, I'm going to make you known. See, what God does with people after our obedience is his business and not ours. Our response is to do it. Be doers of the word and not just merely hearers. But do the word. Love people. Serve people. Allow them to trample on you sometimes if that's what it takes. You know that if you put your heart out there that it's going to be taken advantage of. You know that if you give your time here, maybe you, like I said, at that soup kitchen, maybe you go there and you're like, man, I filled out the paperwork and I talked to people about Jesus and I got kicked out. Praise God. You are being faithful. I'm not telling you go get kicked out of every soup kitchen in Green Bay. But what I am telling you to do is to be a blessing. Use what you got. A lot of us, that's how we came to Christ. Someone told us. Someone spoke to us. Someone served. Someone put their life out so that you could see it. And because of it, you came to Christ. You came to the Lord. And so today, I'm asking you to muster up your courage. I'm asking you to straighten up your back. I'm asking you to grow yourself up in your faith. Don't wait on me to help you grow. Grow yourself in the Word of God so that the passion and the heart of God may flow through you to other people. I'm asking you to take up what you have learned and spill it out on everybody that you come in contact to. Because you never know what doors God is going to let you walk through. You never know what God's going to do to you, with your life. If you're afraid, then do it afraid. Amen? If you're trembling, then do it trembling. But do it. Allow God to use you in your life. First time I ever tried to preach, I said, I will never do that again. That is not for me. It was a disaster. It was awful. But 15 years later, I run into a lady who said that she knew me. And she said, You're a preacher, right? And I go, yeah. She goes, I heard you at this little Baptist church. And that's the only time I'd ever spoke at that Baptist church, was that one time. And they didn't invite me back. It was terrible. I'm telling you, it was really bad. And so I said, I'm sorry that you had to hear that. And she goes, no, it touched my life. I remember what you spoke about. She said, you talked about in the book of da-da-da-da, and you talked about this and this and that, and that's exactly what I was going through. That was a moment in my life that I look back at and go, God spoke to me that day. I went, oh my goodness, this is crazy. This is nuts. But God is asking us to trust Him, to be full of His love, to be full of His passion, so that we could spill it out on people, not push it on people. But the Bible says, as we have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those who are in the faith. As we have opportunity. That means you don't have to bully your way in. He's going to give you opportunity. How many of you, with a show of hands, have missed opportunities that God brought your way? Yep. Exactly. Remember one time I was praying for this, I was pulled into a gas station in Savannah, Tennessee, and it was about 10 o'clock in the morning, and I saw these teenagers talking on a payphone. Yeah, they still have payphones around. And so my heart began to break for them. God started breaking my heart for those two guys, two teenagers that was cutting class, calling their buddies to come and pick them up at that gas station. And I just began to pray for them, and apparently I was staring at them, and I didn't mean it. And all of a sudden, one of them caught my eye, and he saw that I was staring. And man, he gave me the two-finger salute, both hands. And I thought, well, you little jerk, here I am praying for, I'm going to get out and wring your neck. If you just knew that I was praying over you, if you just knew that I was going to get out and share the love of God, now I'm just going to browbeat you. And so that was my first reaction. My second reaction, I just started laughing. And I rolled down the window and I said, guys, listen, I said, if you knew what the reason, I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stare, but I was praying over you. And they go, oh, well, we got to go. I said, well, listen, man, I know, just let me talk to you for a minute. And they're like, oh, we got to go, we got to catch a ride. And so they ran off toward school. Hey, I did good, right? They went to school. But see, every opportunity that we can, God has been speaking to me the last 3 weeks about this follow through. If I'm driving in my car and one of you guys comes to my mind, I begin to pray over you. If God lays it on my heart, hey, you know, something comes through my mind, hey, you need to call so-and-so, I follow through with it. I write it down and I call so that my life can be more purposeful, can be more intentional, can be more impactful, so that I can spill out my life on as many people who will listen that God is good, that Jesus has made a way for them. My life, I want to be about two things: making Him known, loving people. Loving people. Amen? Let's all stand up this morning. We go back to how we opened up the message this morning. I talked about people who had prayed and sensed God's direction or directing them to do something, and they were faithful to follow it, even though the circumstances that surrounded those works were not really all good. But God's measure of success is not measured by how many people get saved. God measures success on how we treat people. He measures success on how faithful we are to Him. I used to be about wanting to get them to the prayer of salvation. I wanted to get them to where they were praying Jesus into their heart. But I realized that what I was doing was I was shoving the gospel down their mouth, down their throats. How many of you guys know bread tastes better in slices? One slice at a time. Realize that people that I come across, maybe someone has planted a seed in their life and now it's time for me to water it. Or maybe I've watered a seed in that person's life and someone else is reaping the harvest and leading them to Christ. Because what I did in sowing the seed, I also take part in when they come to Christ. I was a part of that process. You can be a part of that process by loving people, by making them known, making Jesus known to them. This morning, maybe this is all way too, maybe I've got the cart before the horse. Maybe some of you here today, you don't know Christ at all. Maybe this is something that's brand new to you. Maybe you've never heard a preacher preach passionately like I do before. The reason why is because there's an urgency in my spirit. I feel the day drawing nearer each and every day. There's chaos in this world. There's evil in this world. We could watch the news for 10 minutes and be depressed. But the hope that I have is found in Jesus. Not in a president, not in a Congress, not in a House, not in representatives, not in a mayor, not in a sheriff, not in a community leader, but in Jesus. Because Jesus has promised us that He would never leave us. He promised us that if we were faithful to Him, that we would be a light in a dark place. Whenever we put a candle in a dark room, it expels the darkness. And today, let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to ask you some questions this morning. Today, if you don't know Christ at all, if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, today you can know the love of the Father. Today, if you want to accept Christ, would you raise your hand? Would you put it up so I can see you? Keep it there just for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can put it down. I'm going to ask this question as well. If you have trouble, maybe today you're jaded. Maybe you're spent emotionally. Maybe you have no room in your life for loving people. You're just trying to love on yourself. You're just trying to come to grips with yourself or your situation, and you want out of that. You want to back up and allow the Spirit of God to flood your life this morning. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to wait on that one. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Jesus. The last thing is, if the thought of sharing your faith cripples you with fear, you want to overcome that this morning, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, come before you today because, Lord, we know that there's no other place that we can truly go to that satisfies other than you. Today, Father, I call upon your saving grace to reach down to those that have raised their hands for salvation. God, I pray that they repent of their sins, that you come into their life and clean them up, renew their soul, cause them to be a son and daughter of God. Renew their heart and their mind. Mend up the brokenhearted. Set those who are in captivity free today. Your word came over me, Father, yesterday. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news. And Father, I've done that this morning. And I ask, Father, that you would bind up those brokenhearted today that are just trying to come to the grips of who they are. I pray, Father, that you would set them free today from a false image that they have accepted into their life all of their life. They've never known another image. I pray, Father, that today that image will be erased. May you paint them a portrait of who they are in your eyes. May they see you, Father, as their loving Father. May they see you today as a God that forgives, as a God that heals, as a God that restores, and a God of new beginnings. And I pray, Father, over those that have raised their hands that are dealing with fear concerning sharing their story, sharing how they came to Christ. I pray, Father, that you would begin to raise up a holy boldness inside of them. I pray, Father, that there would be an urgency placed inside their heart and their spirit to get their story out, just like there's an urgency when a fire alarm goes off to get out of the building. Give us that urgency. Give us that urgency, Father. Give us a task to do that only we can do. I pray that as they step out and tell their story, God, may you anoint them by the power of the Holy Spirit to speak your word boldly, to speak their story with tears, to speak their story with joy, to speak their story with healing in their voice, with the Spirit of God backing every word. Father, I pray that our lives would bear fruit, God, lasting fruit. God, may we have a heart for people like you do. May we measure success like Paul measured success. That even though hardships may come and we may be misunderstood, we may be labeled as bigots, we may be labeled as haters, intolerant. But Lord, help us not to be discouraged. Help us not to be dismayed. But let our fuel come through pleasing you, by loving people. Father, I love you so much. You're the joy of my life. You're my hope and you're my salvation. And today, Father, I entrust every bit of my life to you. Use me today. I give you permission to use me today, Father. Use me. Use my hurts. Use my disappointments. Use even those hidden things that I've never spoken. Use them today, Father. Jesus' name. So I commission everyone in this room to spread the love of God through their story. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the word that was spoken. We thank you, Father, for the worship that went forth. We thank you, Father, for the act of giving today. We thank you, Father, for a vision and a plan for New Freedom Church. Help us, Lord, as a church, to stay in your vision for New Freedom Church. We don't want to do what the rest of the country is doing. We only want to do what you are telling us to do. That's what makes us successful. In Jesus' name, amen.